Hello, everyone. My name is Becca. Thanks for joining in on the conversation today. This episode, we're going to be talking a little bit about what success and happiness truly mean, and we're going to touch a little bit on psychedelic therapy and the world around it today. So grab a drink and a dab and get comfortable while we expand our thinking and open our minds just a little bit. This is just a friendly reminder that I am not qualified to speak on these things. I am not a mental health professional. I'm simply putting my thoughts and experiences out into the universe. If you think you need mental health help, please know that there's no shame in getting it. Please see a professional if you believe you need help. Please also keep in mind that while I may talk about and cover psychedelic drugs, this podcast does not stand as medical advice. Please note that my content is meant to be informative and educational. All right, I hope you got your drink or your dab or whatever you need to be comfortable because we're about to jump into this conversation right now. First thing I want to talk about, I want to talk about happiness. I want to talk about the fact that so many people have such a warped idea of what they think happiness is and how they go about obtaining it. Well, first of all, what even is happiness? The actual definition is the state of being happy. So that doesn't actually give us much to go on. So then we look up the definition of happy. The definition of happy is feeling or showing pleasure or contentment. Contentment is a very interesting thing. Contentment is simply being satisfied with what you have. Let's think about that for a second. Being satisfied. Isn't that really what happiness is all about? I mean, the definition says so. But how many people do you actually know who say that they're satisfied with their life and what they have? I believe part of the problem is people look for happiness in the wrong things. People look for happiness in things that money can buy. And that might improve your quality of life. It might make you happy for a period of time, but that's not going to give you true happiness and satisfaction. Most people define success as how big your house is, how big your bank account is, if you're married and have kids, if you've been to school, what job you have, what car you drive. It's the cookie cutter success story. But I don't buy it. Personally, I mean, aside from the relationships, if you want to be married, get married. If you want children, have children. But if you don't, don't. If it would make you happier to not have children, don't feel pressured to. If it would make you happier to not get married, don't. I guess the point of this is, people feel pressured into a life that people around them want them to have. What they believe will bring them happiness. And I certainly have nothing against the cookie cutter idea of what happiness is if that's what you truly want. If your goals are to move up in your corporate job and raise a lovely family in a nice home with a fancy car, I am certainly not one to judge. However, I know that at one point in my life, that's what I thought I wanted. And I'm really kind of glad that I didn't go down that path. Because now at 32 years, I could easily be in a position that I know in my heart would not have been the best for me. If I had made certain different choices in my life, or if I had made the choices that the people around me wanted me to make. So I've come to realize that for me personally, success means finding all of these puzzle pieces and putting them together in a way that makes me happy. Finding contentment in my life. Being able to look around and say, hey, this isn't too bad, you know? So what are your puzzle pieces? What pieces do you need to grab and put into your life to make the picture whole? For me, it was self-love, self-acceptance, and taking care of my mental health. And I don't know how much people who are listening to this are interested in hearing my personal life story, what I've been through in the past, but it's been quite a journey. It's taken me quite a long time to get here and to realize the things that I want and need in my life. At different points in my life, I've thought I've wanted and needed different things. But pretty much that whole time, I was really trying to fit into that cookie cutter success story. And I was never happy. It wasn't until I finally decided that, hey, I don't fit into that. And that's okay. I absolutely do not have to follow a path that will not make me happy. I don't know if anybody listening to this needs to hear that, but I know that quite a few people would benefit from hearing that and taking it in and fully understanding it. That success doesn't need to rely on making other people happy or fitting into the stereotypical successful person role. And it's okay to not be that person. In fact, I think it's actually quite freeing to know that you don't have to make anybody else happy but yourself. Think of your place in this world. Think about your number in this world. There's a lot of people that's lived on this earth. And as long as you're doing good, as long as you're not harming anyone and you're putting positivity out into the universe, then I don't think you can go wrong. So remember that I said, success doesn't need to rely on making other people happy. I mean that mostly. However, I also believe that the more positivity you put out into the universe, the more positivity you attract. I guess I kind of believe in karma. And if you're good to other people, you will get good in return. And I truly believe that if you're staying true to that, and that you're loving yourself, and you're taking care of yourself, and you're following your path, you are a success. Beyond that, it's kind of up to you to define what success means to you. I truly don't think that most of us have any clue what we're doing. We're just kind of on improv mode all the time. I think you could ask some of the most successful people in the world, and I mean, as long as they're not a narcissist, they'd probably tell you that for the majority of their life, they had no clue what they were doing. And I want to tell you that if you're in that position right now, that's perfectly fine. That is just part of your journey. And if you're on that part of your journey, just keep living your life. But be mindful of what you put out into the universe. Do what you do with good intentions and with peace and love in mind. And I truly believe that by doing that, you will find your path and you will find your passion. Okay, so I have a question for you. What is your biggest insecurity? What's something that you're just really not comfortable with about yourself? When you're out with your friends or in public that you keep second guessing? Now I'm going to ask you to imagine the person you care about the most. And imagine them coming to you and confiding to you this insecurity. How would you react? Would you tell them, hey, that's not really a big deal. I've not really noticed that. Or it doesn't change how I view you as a human being. I still care about you. I think in the majority of cases, the answer is you would be supportive of that person. So perspective is really kind of everything. And I don't think that living in fear of what other people think of us is very conducive to being happy. So what do success and happiness mean to you? Have you made any decisions in your life that don't really fit the stereotypical idea of what success or happiness are? I would love to hear your thoughts and opinion on the matter. If you visit anchor.fm/drinkandadab, you can leave me a voice memo. And next time I record an episode, I can play it back and respond to you. Now, if you don't mind, I would like to take just a second to talk about how and where I make this podcast. Here's a question for you. What automatically pops into your head whenever you think of psychedelic drugs like mushrooms or LSD? Well, if you thought of dirty hippies who don't shower or visions of dancing gnomes, then perhaps you're not entirely up to date on the recent news. More and more studies are coming out suggesting that these substances might actually be extremely beneficial to us under the right circumstances. So let's talk about that for a little bit. More and more people are turning to psychedelics to help them with their day-to-day life, whether it be microdosing or larger doses occasionally. And many of these people report having relief in symptoms of depression, anxiety, PTSD, and even addiction. In some cases, there have been patients with terminal illnesses given these substances, and they have been able to overcome their fear of death and be at peace with themselves and their diagnosis. Studies are even showing that some of these substances may be useful in treating treatment-resistant depression, and clinical trials are being held worldwide to find out more. Now, if you're part of the psychedelic community, please just bear with me. This is a quick overview of things that I'm sure you're already very well aware of, but I do hope to touch on these topics further in depth in the future. So first of all, this type of treatment is considered psychedelic-assisted therapy, which essentially means that you are given psychedelics in a therapeutic setting in which you have already built a reputation with the doctor giving you the medication. So you tend to end up going to a few sessions and learning a little bit about the process and getting to know the person administering the drug. This allows you to kind of become comfortable with the process and the set and the setting. While I know many of you seasoned trippers, just like me, actually would kind of feel terrified by the prospect of having this experience in a doctor's office, they do seem to go to extreme lengths to make you comfortable and put you in an environment where you're not being distracted. Unfortunately for now, aside from studies, ketamine is really the only substance being provided to patients in this type of setting in the United States. And ketamine clinics also do not accept insurance. So unless you're able to pay out of pocket for these treatments, you're kind of out of luck for now. You can look into active and upcoming studies and see if you qualify to sign up for them. But aside from that, pretty much all of these substances, psychedelic substances, are illegal in the United States, aside from three cities. In 2019, we have made a world of progress in comparison to the past. So far, we have had Denver, Colorado, Oakland, California, and Chicago, Illinois decriminalize psychedelics. This may not sound like a whole lot, but like I said, it is a world of progress. And as much as I would like to go on tangents and telling stories about anecdotal experiences, I will stick to just the facts and the studies for now. So ketamine clinics have been around for a couple years now. And in an article posted by Yale Medicine, John Crystal, the chief psychiatrist at Yale Medicine, called ketamine a game changer. He says that the drug works differently than previous drugs he's used, calling ketamine the anti-medication medication. He says, with most medications like Valium, the anti-anxiety effect you get only lasts when it is in your system. When the Valium goes away, you can get rebound anxiety. When you take the ketamine, it triggers reactions in your cortex that enable brain connections to grow. It is the reaction to ketamine, not the presence of ketamine in the body, that constitutes its effects. He seems to regard ketamine as some kind of miracle drug which can literally rewire neural connections. In fact, it seems from many studies that I've read, the general theory seems to be that the default mode network is responsible for the effects provided by psychedelics. In that, the control on consciousness is released on high doses, which tends to allow us to step away from the thought patterns that are so ingrained in us on a day-to-day basis. Tests done on a normal brain versus a brain on psychedelics look incredibly different. For instance, there are connections shown in the results of a brain on psychedelics that are not present otherwise. And it doesn't seem to be just creating a few connections here and there. There are a lot of new connections being made. And it seems that these connections are the ones allowing us to break free from these preconceived notions that give us anxiety and depression. So psychedelics are literally lowering the veil. They are rewiring your brain to think differently and perceive things differently. It's very fascinating, and it's kind of easy to see why Dr. Crystal calls ketamine the anti-medication medication. Although I would go out on a limb and apply that term to most other psychedelics as well, but that's just my personal opinion. If you are not familiar with MAPS, MAPS is the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies. Whew, I didn't know if I was going to be able to get through that one without doing a few cuts, honestly. They are essentially the leading nonprofit research organization whenever it comes to psychedelic studies. The founder of MAPS, Dr. Rick Doblin, held a press conference early this October where he presented results of a study using MDMA to treat PTSD. This study showed that after treatment, when patients went to their follow-up appointment 2 months later, over half of them no longer met the qualifications for a PTSD diagnosis. 1 year after treatment, two-thirds of patients no longer qualified for a PTSD diagnosis. So I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty promising. I only touched on a couple examples of study results and therapy provided, but there is tons of information out there. Please do your research if you're interested. Also, if you go to maps.org, somewhere on their website, they do have all of the current and upcoming clinical trials being held available. So if you're that interested, you can go and see if there are trials being held in your area, which you might qualify for. And hopefully, sooner rather than later, we won't have to rely on trials and we will have this medication available to us as patients. And that's where I think we will end today's episode. If you have listened this far, thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in and sharing part of your day with me. Please bear with me as I kind of get the hang of this podcasting stuff. I know that there are ways to probably make my audio better. I know that there are ways for me to speak more clearly. So these are all things I'm working on. And I would also like to remind you while I have a chance that if you go to anchor.fm/drinkandadab, you can leave me a voice memo. Whether you want me to play it on here next time I record or not, that's fine. You can ask me a question or give me a suggestion for the podcast or give me your opinion on anything I've spoken about today. If you have a story that you think would be a good fit for this podcast, email me at drinkandadab@gmail.com. Tell me a little bit about your story and yourself, and we'll talk. I would love to get some of you on here to talk and share your journey. And as always, no matter who or where you are, please remember that you are loved and you are enough. Have a great week.